Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, reading verse 22 through 25. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And here Matthew is obviously quoting from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. If you listened last week, I mispronounced it or misspoke. My notes plainly say Isaiah 7, verse 14. But I said Isaiah chapter 14, and I apologize for that. I want to make sure that I get it right. Please understand. But we're preaching on the subject, fulfilled and astonished. And last week we took care of the fulfilled aspect. But today I want to look at the astonished part. And really still, this is my introduction. I don't expect to get into my actual text until next week. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you today. I need you to preach this message, to teach this message, what have you. I need you to help me to somehow get into the hearts of the people. And Lord, that's something I can't do. I can study, I can pray, I can research, I can do whatever, I can call the bishop maybe and get advice, I can do all these things. But as Jesus said in John 15, without Him, Lord, I can do nothing. I can simply do nothing. But we do ask that you would do something. Get into the hearts of the people. Take this message, take the words as I preach them. For mostly that's what my sermon is, the scriptures. But Father, please take the scriptures and touch the heart. Bring illumination, bring understanding, and help them to see Christ. Help them to see Jesus Christ as we study your word today. And thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we've discussed fulfilled. But let's take a look at astonished. The things that Jesus did, the things that he said, you know, his mere appearance, when it looked hopeless, when's the Messiah going to get here? The Jews didn't know. They had lost hope almost. The Romans were in charge. They didn't run their own country anymore. It looked bad. But in Isaiah 53, it talks about the root out of dry ground. That when it looked impossible, Christ came on the scene. Christ came on the scene. And that's an astonishing thing. But in word, in the words that he spoke, the people were astonished. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." After he had ended the Sermon on the Mount, all the wonderful things that he said, and we went over some of that last time, the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. The people were astonished at his doctrine. His preaching was amazing. His preaching was phenomenal. His preaching, literally, was out of this world, because he was God come in the flesh. And his message, his doctrine, it says, just blew people away. They were astonished, the King James says. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man wisdom, or where did he get all this wisdom and all these mighty works?" Again, his doctrine, his preaching was astounding. It says that they would come from far and wide to hear him preach. If he was going to be in so-and-so's house, Matthew's house, then all of Matthew's friends came to hear, and they were all amazed. When he would go here, he would go there, the people, they would throng him, hoping to hear just a little sermon or a sermonette or whichever, to catch something that, as the King James says, that fell from his lips, that his speech would drop on their ears. Again, another, it's in King James, but it's a Hebrew idiom. Everywhere he went, people paid attention. Many of them, thousands of them, rededicated their hearts to God, or got saved, or however you want to word it. And then the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the doctors of the law, what have you, they were all upset with what he had to say. But he impacted the situation wherever he happened to be. And they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his wisdom. At one point he said that everybody came to hear, the Queen of Egypt or whatever came to hear, when Solomon taught, and he was the wisest man that ever lived. But behold, Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. And that's how the New Testament, and specifically the book of Matthew, presents Jesus Christ as the wisdom from heaven. Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Again, people were astonished at his word and also his deed, the things he did. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue in Mark chapter 5, verse 38 through 43, and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? Hey, why all the carrying on? What are you crying for? Jesus said when he showed up at that funeral, or the preparations thereof. What you making all this big commotion about? Why are you crying? The damsel, the little girl, is not dead. She's only asleep. And it says in verse 40 that they laughed him to scorn. Man, they were rolling at how ridiculous Jesus sounded and the things that he said. The girl was dead. The girl, whatever disease she had or whatever, by the time he got there, the girl was dead. And everybody knew it. That's why all the mourners were there. And it says that they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, the disciples, whatever, and they went into the building or the room or whatever where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel, the little girl, by the hand and said, Talitha kumai, which the interpretation is, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Hey, little girl, come on and get up. And it says, straightway the damsel arose and walked. Oh, and by the way, she was 12 years old. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. They couldn't believe it. Just a minute or two before they went into the room, they were laughing and mocking him and just having a time making fun of what Jesus said. But then the girl walks out, very much alive. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. In verse 42. But note verse 43, and I'm going to come back to this idea. And he charged them straightly, or he shook his finger at them and says, hey, listen up. Don't tell nobody. See that no man should know it. And he commanded that something would be given her to eat. And he straightly charged them, it says, that no man should know it. This is a great miracle. The people were amazed and astonished that this dead girl was now alive. And their mouths were hanging open. But Jesus said, hey, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. And next time, probably next week, I'll revisit that idea. But the point of today's lesson is to show that Jesus, everywhere he went, every time he opened his mouth and every time he did anything, and generally it was some sort of healing, a miracle or whatever, the people were astonished. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? And everybody always remembers to point out the fact that, hey, it takes two to tango. But they threw her down at his feet. Whatever word they would use to describe the girl that had been caught while they were doing it. See? We got proof. She did it. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to say, Master? Rabbi? And we know the story. He knelt down and he wrote in the dirt. It doesn't say what. It doesn't say what he wrote. We can surmise. We can say, well, I think I know. Or we can make up some little narrative. But the fact is, we're not told. But whatever it is, the people were astonished. The accusers, the Pharisees, Sadducees, whoever that came and they set it up that they would go on that date and end up in bed or whatever the case, they set it up. Probably the guy that was involved was standing there in the crowd. But the woman's accusers, they were astonished. Because whatever it was he wrote in the dirt, they got convicted. They knew in their heart that they had been found out. They knew that the plot was known by Christ. And they were ashamed of themselves, ashamed of their own sin. That instead of casting that first stone, they dropped their rocks and maybe made their way to the synagogue or went home and whatever, went to bed, I don't know. But his word and deed, it put them to shame. You know, in other places it says, never a man spoke like this man. the people were astonished at him. There are two passages farther on in Matthew, in chapter 14 and chapter 15, that amaze me. And I've preached these before, but I'd like to go over them again. Matthew chapter 14, verse 34 through 36. And when they were going over, they'd gone over by ship, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, when they knew, hey, Jesus is coming, that they sent out to all in that country round about, if Jesus was coming to Kenner, then they would run, they would go even on the other side of the lake to Covington to say, hey, you need to come. They'd go on the West Bank. They'd go downtown. Hey, Jesus is coming to Kenner. Let's go. And it says that they brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Now we know the story of the woman that came in the crowd and said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she was. And Jesus said, who touched me? We know this story. But that's not the only time that happened. And the people were looking at Scripture, knowing that he, Jesus, was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. They read Malachi chapter 4. They knew the Scriptures. And not only did they run to Kenner, if that was the place, they brought with them everybody that couldn't walk, or were half dead, or had whatever disease, or broken arm, or whatever the case. They brought those people to where he was, with the idea that if only they could touch the hem of his garment, if only they could grab his coattails or whatever, that they would be healed. And it says, and as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. It amazes me that when the people knew where he was going, and again, this was a boat ride, not completely across all the way, but kind of cutting the corner of the Sea of Galilee, when they knew, well, he's going to land by that village. And they could see across the lake, whatever. And they would say, we know where he's going. And they'd go all to the countryside and all the little villages. Hey, let's go get Fred. I mean, he can't walk no more. Let's go get him and carry him down. Carry him to the next town, what have you. It amazes me that the people had a hunger in their heart. Obviously, he probably said something, whenever it was. He probably gave some sermon or whatever. But the people in this case, they wanted to be healed. They believed in healing. They trusted in the Master. That all they had to do was grab his coattails, and they would be healed. To me, that's amazing. I wish today we had that kind of faith, that if we could somehow by faith touch the hem of his garment, we would be made perfectly whole. Now, I know today we have doctors and miracle cures and insurance and Obamacare and whatever. But, you know, even with modern medicine the way it is, there are some things that they just can't heal. People die every day of diseases that the doctors just can't heal. So, you know, insurance and modern medicine and cataract surgery and all of these things, that's all fantastic. But we still need a touch from the Master. We still need to believe that Jesus heals the sick. And that he heals the sick today if we will only trust him. But very quickly, Matthew chapter 15. And wherever he was, it says in verse 29 through 31, and Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him. Again, the same idea. Having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Again, whatever kind of disease. Just like in the previous chapter, they brought all of these sick people to where he was. And it says they cast them down or threw them down or laid them down, I guess, at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. And he healed them. But here's the part of this passage that astounds me. In verse 31, again, remember that they knew where he was. They brought this list of sick people. They laid him down in front of Jesus' feet, and he lifted him up and healed everyone. They knew that was going to happen. They knew it. Because everywhere Jesus went, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. They knew who it was. But it says, insomuch that the multitude wondered, or they were astonished, they were amazed, when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Again, they knew he would heal. They brought these people in faith. And what do you know? He healed them just like they knew. But, when they saw the miracles take place, and again, it lists the same list, the maimed, the lame, the blind, what have you. When they saw the blind, hey, now the guy can see. When they saw the guy with a crooked leg or whatever and he couldn't walk, but then his leg straightened up and he began to dance a little jig, perhaps, like the guy that Peter and John came across. The one that went walking and leaping and praising God as he went to the temple. When they saw the miracles happen, they were amazed. They wondered. They were astonished. They knew it would happen, but when they saw it in front of their own eyes, they were astonished. They wondered. And they glorified the God of Israel. That's what we need to do. We need to glorify the God of Israel. We need to glorify God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We ought to believe the Bible. I mean, believe it. Not come with excuses. Well, you know, brother, it's, you know, 2021 I don't care about none of that. Let's believe the book. Let's believe the book and see if we too aren't astonished at the wonderful things that Jesus could do for us if only we'd believe.
Only believe, all things are possible.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today. and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.